Y'all ready to get stronger this morning? All right, we've been in the gym. We're getting in the gym, working out, but we realize that just walking into a gym doesn't get you in shape. Amen? Right? I wish it did, but it doesn't. You've got to actually get the weights out. You've got to get them pumped. You got to work. You got to get on the treadmill and going. And the same way that as the gym offers opportunities for you to grow stronger and get physically strong, the church provides environments for you to grow stronger spiritually. And but just walking in the church isn't going to make you spiritually fit. Right, just sitting here is not going to make you spiritually fit. There's things that you got to do to grow stronger and to grow in. And so we've been talking about our mind, that we needed a stronger mind, that our mind needs to be focused and set in heaven on Jesus, and our mind to be thinking correctly, that we have a strong mind. And then last week we talked about having stronger what? Well, I get to preach that one again. We ain't going on to the next one if we didn't get the last one. And then we talked about getting stronger what? Eyes. Whew. Scared me there. Thanks to that one person that remembered that said it where everybody else could hear it. And with stronger eyes, that our eyes need to be fixed on God, right? We need to be fixed on Him and focused on what He has for our life, and that our eyes are looking at what Christ would have us to look at. Well, this morning I want us to talk about our ears. We're going to look at having stronger ears, okay? Sound good? All right, so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we are going to read Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, and starting in verse 32. This is wisdom. The following verses before this is wisdom that is calling out, it says. Proverbs 8, 32, it says, "Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost, for he who finds me finds and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." Let's pray. Father, help us to listen today. Give us ears to hear so that we might listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says to us this morning. I pray, God, that you would make us aware that we are in your presence this morning. And Father, that we give you permission to examine our hearts and our minds today. And Lord, that you could search us out and seek us. And Father, pointing out any areas in our life that need to be corrected, any areas that we need to repent of. Lord, moments of encouragement that we may need. Lord, help us to hear you, Lord. Help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, I understand the judgment of my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we're looking at our ears and growing stronger, we're going to look at the difference between just hearing and listening, because there is a difference. In the Bible, when you look throughout Scripture, it talks about inclining your ear to God. Inclining your ear means make your ear attentive. Be ready to listen. Be ready to listen. It says, incline your ear to my sayings, God says, or incline your ear to understanding, or incline your ear to hear the words of the wise. So be ready, because you can hear something and not listen. How many of y'all ever just heard something? It's went one in ear and out the other, right? Parents, you all know how this works. It's like it says, clean your room. And then you go back up, and the room, still a mess. Now, did your kids hear you? Yeah, they heard you. They heard the words come out of your mouth, clean your room. But did they listen? No. Because listening leads to following. When you listen to something, you obey that, you do that, you act upon that. So that's what we're going to look at. There's a difference between listening and just hearing. And so we want ears to hear so that we may listen to what the Spirit of the Lord says to us today. Amen. Who does not want you to listen to God? Satan. Satan loves to cause static. He loves to cause white noise. He loves to muddy the airwaves, if you will, to your connection with God. God's speaking to you, and he will speak lies. He will speak lies. He'll use many different ways, different forms, many fashions. He'll use culture, media. He'll use friends, neighbors. He'll use people. He'll use all kinds of things, if you're not careful, to speak lies into the mix of what you're trying to hear from God, and he'll try to drown out. It's like you're going on the road, and you're in your car, and you're listening to the radio, and you ever had that moment when you're listening to something and then all of a sudden some other station kinds of break in on that same frequency and then you're like having two people or two songs going on at the same time? Y'all ever had that moment? Man, it's frustrating. It's not, oh, you know, and so that's what Satan's trying to, he's trying to get in that frequency, and he's trying to mess up, and he's trying to lie. And he has a trick that he does. It's old. It goes all the way back from the very beginning. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read this, that Satan comes and to Eve. And it says, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Has God said? Did he really say this? Well, what's Satan trying to do? He's trying to make Eve doubt God's word, isn't he? He's trying to make Eve doubt God's word, his goodness, and he's trying to throw doubt upon God's word. Do you realize that there is an attack on the word of God in our culture today? What we're seeing played out before our eyes right now ultimately is an attack on the authority of God's word. And so there's many people out there, there's many different types of voices out there saying, the Bible, I mean, does the Bible really say that it's wrong to kill babies? It really does. Our culture doesn't say that, but God's word says it. Does the Bible really say that marriage is between a man and a woman? The Bible really does say that. Our culture doesn't, and our Supreme Court obviously doesn't. But the Bible says it. He really does. And the question that we're coming down to is, which voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to God's voice, or are we going to listen to the world or cultures, or ultimately behind all of that is Satan's voice? You see, when Eve took the bite of the fruit and she handed it to Adam and he ate, and the Lord God comes to them and holds them accountable for their action, then when he comes to Adam, it says this. Then to Adam, it says, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. Now, man, this is not to say that you should never listen to your wife, okay? So don't get that from this text. But what this is saying is that whose voice should have Adam listened to? God's. He should have been listening to God's voice, but he listened to his wife's voice that spoke a different language than what God said. And when he listened to the voice that spoke opposite of God, he's in trouble. When you listen to the wrong voices, it is trouble. It'll cause trouble for you, your life, family. It doesn't go well. There's a curse, and we see the consequences of all that. And so it's very important that you listen to the right voice. To have strong ears, you got to listen to the right voice. You got to tune in wisdom and tune out deception. You see, because Satan's the father of lies, and so he'll speak lies, and he'll use people to speak lies, and there are some people who will give you the wrong advice on purpose because they have impure motives. You got to be careful who you listen to. Some people will tell you to do the wrong thing because they have an evil intent. Some people will lie and hurt and say things to you to try to emotionally to hurt you. To tell you as a kid growing up, you know, well, you're a loser. You're never good. You're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. Lies that Satan uses to receive. Some people lie to cause division, to try to cause friendships to break, things to happen. Some people lie to damage other people and their reputation. Some people lie and speak lies to pull you away from God. Now, who's behind all of this? Well, the Bible says in John 8:44, when he's talking to the Pharisees, Jesus says, "You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and a father of lies." A lot of lies going out there today around us, sometimes in our homes, sometimes in our neighborhoods, sometimes in our churches, sometimes there's just in our culture in general, there's lies going out. And John says that there's two folks of liars that you can easily spot. And 1 John 4:20 says, John says, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a what? For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother also. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers." These are people that you need to be aware of, that you need to be cautious of, because Satan can use them to be very deceptive and destructive. And so there are folks out there who will speak lies. And if you listen to their lies, you could be in danger. If you can't speak to another brother and sister in Christ, you got a problem. There's some lie attached to that you're believing. You know, we've had people that have ran into other folks, and some people won't even speak to their children, to another person's child. They won't even speak. And it's like, well, how awful. I mean, where's that come from? That's demonic. That comes from a lie of Satan. And so anytime that you try to damage someone, hurt someone, split a family apart, split a church apart, split people apart through lies and deception, be careful. Watch out. Don't listen. There's deception. Another type of liar out there in 1 John 2:22 is this. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. We have an Antichrist spirit in our nation. We have an Antichrist spirit in our nation. We have a nation that is anti-Christ, that is against Christ, that does not want to honor Christ, that does not want to accept Christ, that does not want to admit that there is a way to heaven, that there is a God who has a saving plan, and his name is Jesus, who died for you. And we reject that. Our culture rejects that. Our culture says, no, there can't be just one way to heaven. There's got to be multiple ways. And I'm telling you, that's a lie. All religions aren't the same. We're all not believing in the same God, just going to end up in the same place. There is a God who has a son named Jesus who died for our sin. And if you hear any teacher, any preacher, any type of person that denies that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on a cross and he rose again and he's coming back for his church, don't listen. Don't listen. That is a false teaching. It's lies. And Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, it says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods whom ye have not known, and let us serve them.'" He says, you shall not what? Listen to them. Even if they do a miraculous thing, he says, you shall not listen to them. To the words of that prophet, that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul. Now look at verse 4. He says, you shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep whose commandments? His commandments. Listen to his voice. Serve. Cling to him. And so whoever you listen to reveals who your God is. Whatever authority over your life that you submit to, that reveals who your God is. So like if you listen to certain teachings or certain things or certain philosophies or certain religions, that reveals who your God is. Ultimately, when you get scared, when you get panicked, when you are fearful, whatever you run to, whatever you go to, that reveals where you actually put your hope in. What you think about the authority that makes a statement will determine if you will listen or you just hear. So, if you see a container and it has a warning label, and it says, warning, poison, do not drink. If you believe that there is an authority behind that label that really knows what they're saying, you will not what? You will not drink that. But if you look at that label and you say, well, you know, what is poison? I mean, really, who put that there anyway? How can we really know that the person who put this label on? I mean, you can sit there and try to go through this whole mental gymnastics and then say, I'm going to drink this anyway. And you're going to drink it, and you're still going to be dead, okay, if that authority is correct. Now, that's why sometimes those of us who have small kids, the reason why your kids don't listen to you is because, not saying sometimes, not all the time, sometimes, is because they don't believe you. They don't believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do. Because some of you parent like this, I'm going to count to three. One, two, two and a half. Two and three quarters. Now I'm telling you, I'm about to get to three. Three. Well, you know, I'm going to do it one more time. No. You need to go a little old school, you know. Oh, let's go back old school. It's like, I'm going to count to three. One, two, bam. What? Bam. Where's three? Where did three go? I should have never gotten to two. As soon as I asked you to do something, you should have listened, right? And so what you listen to, if you listen, that means you respect that authority. Does that make sense? So if you don't listen to the Bible, if you don't listen to his word, you know what that shows? It shows you don't respect the authority of God's word. And this, my friend, is what's under attack. It's for us as Christians to be able to boldly hold up a book called the Bible and say, thus saith the Lord. Our culture does not want to hear that. Because this is the authority. And so what it says, I need to do. So how are we going to have stronger ears? There's three ways. You ready? Here we go. As I begin the message this morning. As a joke. Here we go. We got to listen to the right voice, the voice of God. And there's three benefits that happen by listening to the right voice. You ready? Listening to the voice of God leads to faith in Jesus. Listening to the voice of God leads to faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That is the word of the proclamation of the gospel. In the Greek, that's what that means. It's what rendering. Faith comes by hearing. Some of your translations say hearing by the word of God. Some of your translations say hearing by the gospel preached. Okay, that is the gospel. When the gospel is proclaimed, guess what? People come to faith. When the gospel is proclaimed, people come to faith in Jesus. Why? Because there is a salvation plan that God's laid out. And I got to remind us all that just your life is not the gospel. Your testimony is a witness to the gospel. It is not the gospel. You must learn to be able to say this. There is a problem, and it's called Sin. Man's got a problem. It's called sin. We rebel against God. We don't listen to his ways. But God's got a solution, and his name is Jesus. And he lived a perfect life, went to the cross, died on the cross for my sin and your sin, rose again on the third day, and is coming back again. And if you will repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. That's the gospel. Can you declare that? Can you state that? Can you share that? Can you tell somebody that? Can you let people know that, man, that there is a salvation plan? So listening to the voice of God, it will result in faith in Jesus. Second benefit is listening to the voice of God leads to obedience to Jesus. Leads to obedience. Again, and this is where we're talking the difference between hearing and listening. When you listen, you'll obey. Let me give you an example in Exodus chapter 16, we'll look at verse 2 and verse 20. This is a negative example, okay, meaning that this is a group of people that didn't listen. And in Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, Moses had gotten the people, rescued them out of the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. Now they're in the wilderness, and they're hungry, and they're needing food, and they don't have any food. And it says, so the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And that verse is more for me than it is you, because I'm thinking, you know, if they grumbled against Moses and Aaron, when y'all grumble against me, I'm in good company, right? I mean, if they didn't like some stuff Moses and Aaron did, then I know I'll make some of you mad. I mean, I'll frustrate you all, and I know some of you, I do things that you just get underneath your skin, and I know that, and you do things that get under my skin as well, so... Just so you know. So anyway, a sidebar there. As they were complaining and grumbling against Moses, God tells Moses, he says, I'm going to give you manna, okay? It's going to be these little flakes. And when the frost comes on the ground, you're going to have these frosted flakes. And I'm going to do it. And they ate it, and they said, they're great. Not in the Bible. Now, the flakes are in the Bible. The manna, it really was. When the frost came on the ground, there was flakes. And they didn't know what it was. Manna, it means, what is it? That's what that really means. And they're like, what is this? And it was food for them. It was bread for them. But God told them something. He said, only gather enough manna that you need for that day. Just gather enough of that you need to eat on that day, and then in the morning, you'll get more. Now, you know, on the sixth day, on the Sabbath day before Sabbath, get enough for 2 days, but that's the only day you get more, okay? So this is, are you going to listen? Are you going to trust that what God says is true, right? Well, guess what happened? They gathered up, and they gathered more than what they needed for that day. And look what happened. Exodus chapter 16, verse 20, it says this. But they did not, what? Listen to Moses. And some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They did not listen. So what did they do to not listen? They disobeyed. They did the opposite. There was an action behind their not listening. So therefore, if you listen, that means there is action behind that listening, correct? Right? If they would have listened to Moses, then they would have only gathered what they needed for that day, right? And so this is why Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Acts on them will be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So Jesus says, if you really want to hear me, if you're going to listen to me, then what I ask you to do, what I tell you to do, you're going to do. Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Those who listen to me, follow me, right? And so what I want to challenge all of us to do is to realize if we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit, then when the Holy Spirit leads us, when he prompts us, when he speaks to us, when the Word of God speaks to us and tells us what we're to do, then we are to act upon that, right? And so if the Bible, you know, just hearing about something and not acting on it isn't listening. Right? You can hear about forgiveness, but if you never forgive, that's not listening. You can hear and we can talk about giving, but if you never give, that's not listening. You can talk about sharing your faith, and we can get in groups, and we can study about sharing our faith, and we can talk to each other about that we should share our faith. But if we never go out and share our faith, then we're not listening. Do you get it? And so what we got to ask is, are we going to get stronger in our faith? And if we get stronger in our faith, that means we're going to have stronger ears. That means we're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. And when the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want you to do, we what? We do it. When the Holy Spirit says, I want you to avoid that, put that down, you don't need that, that's destructive, that's harmful in your life, then what do? We don't do it, we put it down, we say, whoa. We listen. Listening to the voice of God leads to obedience to Jesus. Does that make sense? The last benefit is listening to the voice of God leads to life in Jesus. Jeremiah 7, verse 23 says this, but this is what I command them, saying, obey my what? Obey my voice. And I will be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be what? Well with you. You see, there is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end it leads to death, Proverbs says. How many of y'all have ever done it your way, and you found yourself in a dead end, and it didn't bring life, it brought death? Maybe y'all have made that mistake. When we follow the Lord, it leads to life. It doesn't always lead to easiness, but it leads to life. Yet, verse 24, they did not obey or incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and they went backward and not forward. That's sad, isn't it? That's not what we want to be. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to go backward. We want to move forward, right? When we grow stronger, we don't get weaker. We want to grow stronger in our faith. We want to go forward, not backward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I've sent you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising early and sending them. Yet they did not what? Or incline their ear, but they stiffened their neck. They did more evil than their fathers. He says, you're going to speak to these words to them, but they're not going to listen to you. You shall call to them, but they're not going to answer you. We don't need to be that stubborn child, do we? We're children of God. If you're a Christian, believer, and don't be that stubborn child that just, you know, won't turn your head to heaven, won't tune your ear to his voice, and you allow the wax of the world's philosophies and thoughts and lies build up and damage your ear and cause you to hear his voice no more. As your heart can become hardened and you get desensitized to the things of God and you let anger and bitterness and all these things get in your heart and it just gets more calloused and calloused and calloused and harder, your ear can become more dull and dull and dull. And the Holy Spirit's trying to speak, and he's trying to lead, but you've rejected him, and you've not listened, and you've not obeyed, and you've not followed, and you've become deaf. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19 says, it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. There's a high price to pay by turning a deaf ear to the Lord. As a nation, I believe that's where we're at. A nation that has become deaf and does not want to hear the voice of God. And so as a nation, when I look at us as America, I get a little nervous, but as a church, I get encouraged because I know that the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But church, like we said last week, like the old revivalist who would encourage you to take a piece of chalk out there and go out in your driveway, draw a circle, stand in the middle and say, the revival starts with me. We got to start here. We got to start with us. The world's going to act lost because it's lost. The church doesn't need to act lost. We got the Episcopal Church that came out and said that they're going to start marrying homosexual couples. We need a revival. You see, when the church acts lost, we're in trouble. And so it's going to start here. Will it start with you? Are you going to listen to the voice of God? Are you going to draw a circle around yourself? Is your family going to draw a circle around your family and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? I could care less what the whole world says. You know, I could care less what the world's telling me. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. Everyone else may listen to the wrong voice, but I'm going to listen to the voice of the Lord. Will it start? As I was reading and studying this week, I came to Isaiah 30. And just been really thinking about this a lot. And it says, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine. It's dangerous when a nation doesn't seek the plans of God. It's dangerous when an individual doesn't seek the plans of God. It's dangerous when we as a church don't seek the plans of God. Have you ever tried to plan something out without including God in it? You see, the Jewish people here, they're under attack. Assyria is coming. And instead of them running to God for their protection and their help, they're going to have the temptation to run back to Egypt, where they were slaves. Isn't that funny? Isn't that wild how sometimes we will run back to the very things that kill us? What you run back to reveals where your devotion is. And he says, this is a rebellious, they execute a plan but not mine, and they make an alliance but not of my spirit. They'd rather team up with Egypt than with me. Are you in line with the Holy Spirit? Are you walking with him? Are you allowing God to direct your paths and steps? Is he your focus? Or are you aligning yourself up with someone else and something else in some different way? He says, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me. God's like, I'm not telling you to go down to Egypt. But there you go. To take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Man, this is appalling. God's like, why would you seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt when I'm your shelter? For those who trust in the Lord shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. In my shadow is where your protection is. Under my wings is where your protection is. Don't run to Egypt. Don't run to Pharaoh. Run to me. He says, are you listening? What are you trusting? Where are you putting your hope in? Where are you running back to? Where are you putting your security? When you get scared, when you get depressed, when you get disappointed, when you get heartache, where do you go to? Do you run to the Lord? Or do you go back to Egypt? He says, therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. The very thing that you're running to, that you think is going to bail you out and help you, it's going to be your shame. It's going to humiliate you. And that's what Satan loves to do. And here's what we all need to know. Satan's not our friend. He is our foe. And he lies to us. And he tempts us, and he tells us to not listen to the voice of God, and we're tempted to not heed the Holy Spirit, and we run to our own plans, our own ways, our crutches that we used to do, and ultimately, sin will be exposed, and we'll be ashamed. Just like Adam and Eve. they were naked and ashamed. When God in his original plan, that wasn't how it's supposed to be. Because God in his grace covers sin. It doesn't expose it to the world. He covers our guilt. He covers our shame. He covers us by his grace. That's the God who says, come to my wings. Let me overshadow you. Let my shadow, let me be your protection. Listen to me. I have the plans for you, declares the Lord. Listen to me. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to what they say. Listen to me. How are you listening? Let's pray. Father, speak. Holy Spirit, speak. There are hearts that need to be softened this morning. There are minds that need to be enlightened this morning by your grace. There are ears that need to be opened by your truth. Father, there's a man, there's a woman here today. They've never trusted you. They never replaced their faith in you. And today you're speaking salvation to them and you're calling them and you're saying you need to trust in Christ for salvation. Would you speak and would you call them out? There are folks in here this morning that are believing lies of the enemy, being deceived by our culture, letting others influence, impact, pull them away from God. Lord, would you speak to them? Let them identify those and listen to your voice. Lord, would you allow us to be people who have our ears tuned into you and that we will tune out the world in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Let's sing. Let's come. Let's respond. Let's pray.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.